This week on the Legal Talk, we are talking to Nirvana Nortnagel from Hahn & Hahn Attorneys and talking about divorce. In fact, Divorce 101, talking about the divorce process. Nirvana, hello and welcome back to Legal Talk. How's it going?
I'm well, and you, Ian. Thank you for having me back.
Yes, welcome back. Now, Nirvana, before we discuss the divorce process, can you quickly just provide us with a brief explanation of the different types of matrimonial regimes and the impact these have on divorces?
Okay, so basically, there are three types of matrimonial property regimes to choose from in South Africa. So your first would be your marriage in community property. So this is where you do not have an antenuptial contract, which results in all the assets and liabilities of the parties both falling within the joint estate. So this will be on a 50-50 basis. So when this type of marriage is dissolved, the joint estate will be divided in half, with each party being entitled to their half share. Then you have your marriage out of community property without the application of the accrual system. So this is where an antenuptial contract has been entered into without the application of the accrual. So this means that each party will retain their own estate. So your assets remain your assets, your liabilities remain your liabilities. And you can also contract without the need of consent from your spouse. So when this marriage is dissolved, there will be no division of any joint estate, and there will also be no accrual to be calculated, with neither party being entitled to an accrual claim. However, there has been a recent judgment that has been handed down in the Constitutional Court. I believe this was on the 10th of October, 2023, which has declared that Section 73A of the Divorce Act is inconsistent with the Constitution and invalid. So to the extent that the provision limits the operation of Section 73 of the Divorce Act to marriages out of community property entered into before the commencement of the Matrimony Property Act. So essentially, this means that individuals married out of community property without the accrual will now be entitled to claim a redistribution of their assets, despite the content of their signed antenuptial agreement. But everybody needs to keep in mind that a redistribution claim is not an automatic entitlement. And so a spouse instituting a Section 73 claim will still need to prove their direct or indirect contribution made towards the estate of their spouse, which then made that spouse's estate successful. And then the court will hearing such a claim will then have to decide upon whether the spouse is entitled to a claim and to what extent, or what the extent of the claim will be. This may differ greatly from matter to matter. And then we have a marriage out of community property with the application of the accrual system. So once again, an antenuptial contract is entered into between the parties, and this, however, that will apply with the accrual. The parties will retain their own separate estates after the marriage. The parties will also be entitled to perform any and all legal actions relating to their separate estates as they deem fit, without the consent of their spouse. And then in terms of the accrual, the party with the smaller accrual will have an accrual claim against the party with a larger accrual. So the accrual claim is equal to 50% of the difference between the larger accrual and the smaller accrual. So an easy or simple example of this is, will be where, say, you have party A and B, and you commence your marriage on a zero balance. Then party A's estate grows by 1 million rand, and party B's estate grows by 1.5 million rand. That 500,000 rand difference will then be divided in two, so 50%, and 250,000 will then go to party A. So that will be the difference between the larger and the smaller accrual.
Okay, and Nirvana, what are the different types of divorce?
So firstly, we have your uncontested divorce. So this is the quickest and least expensive option. So in an uncontested divorce, the spouses work together to agree on the divorce terms. This includes your maintenance, how to divide their assets, how their children will be cared for, and other important decisions. Then an impartial attorney can be consulted and appointed by both spouses to take care of their interests and draft the settlement agreement, which is then signed by both spouses and then made in order of court. And uncontested divorce proceedings may be finalized much quicker than contested or mediated divorces, and a date may be obtained within a month or two, depending on the dates available at the time for hearing a divorce. So you still essentially need to remember that in any divorce, as much as you may have reached a settlement, entered into a settlement agreement, you still have to issue a summons on the other spouse. The sheriff still has to serve it. You can make arrangements with the sheriff's office that the other spouse will come and collect it at their office, and then serve it can take form in that instance. Or the sheriff can go to the residence where, or the address elected by, for the other spouse for service to take place. The other thing that you need to note is that parties should also remember that where children are involved, the settlement agreement must first be endorsed by the Family Advocate's Office before the settlement agreement can be made in order of court. We then have your mediated divorce. So a mediated divorce costs more and will take a finalize. So in this type of divorce, couples who are unable to agree on certain terms of the divorce settlement employ the services of an attorney. This attorney could be certified as a mediator, or they may appoint a professional mediator to help them negotiate and reach an agreement. So mediators are impartial, trained professionals skilled in helping couples set aside their short-term differences in order to focus on reaching a reasonable settlement. In most cases, the mediators are appointed by the attorney who provides legal advice during mediation. So once the mediator successfully helps spouses reach the agreement, their attorney or their respective attorneys can work together to draft the official settlement agreement, which is then signed by both spouses and then made in order of court. Once again, I have to say that where children are involved, the settlement agreement first has to be endorsed by the Family Advocate's Office. And this is just mainly because the settlement agreement in terms of the children will cater for example, maintenance or the contact and care of the minor children. So who will the children primarily reside with, and who will have reasonable contact with the children. And then you have, lastly, your contested divorce. So your contested divorces can drag on for years and are financially taxing. Contested divorces occur when spouses cannot agree on the terms and conditions of their divorce. The most common disagreements relate to maintenance, division of assets, parental rights and responsibilities toward the child or the children. In some cases, one or both spouses refuse to settle for emotional reasons. So in a contested divorce, both spouses appear in court repeatedly, and the court can decide the terms of their divorce. Or, I mean, a divorce could drag on for years, and then eventually they reach a settlement agreement, and that is made in order of court. So this, like I said, can result in very high legal costs. It may take 3 years or longer. I mean, we are currently sitting with a divorce that's been taking 5 years to settle. That has recently come into our firm.
5 years, eh? Sure.
A long time.
That's quite a long time. And Nirvana, what
are financially taxing?
Yeah, I can imagine. Whoa. Nirvana, what are some of the factors or matters to be considered when instituting divorce proceedings?
So I think one of them would be whether you have pension interest. So a non-member, we need to remember that a non-member spouse, a married in community property, has a claim to a share of such a pension interest. So it'll either be a 50% share or as determined by a court. So it's essential to sit down with each other and just determine whether you are going to claim that, or whether you say, I'm not claiming your pension is your pension, let's leave that be, let's just deal with the rest of the issues. Or where both spouses have a pension interest in, you can say that your pension is your pension, my pension is mine. Then the other issue is spousal maintenance. So whether a spousal rehabilitative maintenance will be payable and in what amount will be dependent on whether the spouse has the ability to support themselves. So rehabilitative maintenance is also usually awarded if the court feels that the marriage has had a negative effect on the ability of one person to support themselves. This is usually the wife. If she stayed at home and looked after the children, and she was essentially a homemaker and took care of the household affairs. So in this situation, the court will evaluate the length of time it will take for the widowed spouse to gain the skills to bring into the job market. We usually put clauses in where we say if the party who's receiving spousal maintenance or rehabilitation maintenance starts residing with a partner for a period of 6 months or longer, or remarries, that maintenance then falls away. The other aspect that we need to consider is children, so contact and care. So which party will have primary care of the children and which party will have reasonable access. Then the other issue is maintenance for the children. This will also need to be considered. So which party will pay what and in what proportion. So this will be based on the individual's financial needs. Then obviously whether the family advocate will have to be involved. So generally where minor children are involved, family advocate will have to come into play, unless obviously the parties settle prior to instituting the divorce action. So the family advocate is a state official who assists divorcing parties to reach an agreement on disputed issues, to merely care and contact, so name mostly care and contact. If they are unable to reach an agreement, the family advocate reviews the circumstances in terms of the best interest of the child or the children and makes a recommendation to the court with regard to care and contact. Then obviously the division of the estate. So for example, who keeps which vehicle and what basis, the division of the furniture, or if there's multiple properties, which property is retained by which spouse, or where there's one property, whether that property is to be sold and then they'll share equally in the proceeds of the sale, less obviously the expenses associated with the transfer. So that would be you, for instance, your getting your race clearance certificates, your electrical compliance certificates, your gas compliance certificates, things like that.
It gets a bit complicated, you know. Who's getting the Celine Dion CDs? Who's getting the DVD collection? Who's keeping the decoder? who's keeping the dog? You know, I can only imagine how hectic that can get. Nirvana, lastly,
it's a very long process.
I can imagine. Lastly, Nirvana, let's just quickly look at a summary of the steps taken in divorce proceedings.
Okay, so firstly, you should arrange a consultation with your divorce attorney, and then we will generally ask you questions about your life, assess if the divorce will be opposed or unopposed by your future ex-spouse. We then also ask you for details regarding your income and expenditure, your assets and liabilities, what the financial position of your future ex-spouse is currently, what the contributions that have been made and who's making those contributions, what was the cause for the irretrievable breakdown of the marriage, because all this information needs to be included, obviously, in the summons and the particulars of claim. So you will have to state how, for what reasons you're seeking a decree of divorce. Then you will draft the divorce summons and particulars claim. The summons will then be issued by the court on behalf of the person launching the divorce action. So this person is known as plaintiff. This will include, like I said before, both the details of both parties, where and when they were married, under what matrimonial property regime they were married, and also include the details of the distribution of your assets and liabilities, the maintenance payments that you're requesting, the issues of childcare and contact. Then the summons will be delivered by the share to the other spouse, so this is called service, and the other spouse will then be known as the defendant. The defendant then will respond to the contents of the divorce if they filed a notice of intention to defend, and this response is called a plea. Then together with the plea, the defendant delivers a counterclaim document which sets out what the defendant wants the divorce order to determine. You then have another opportunity as plaintiff to file a replication or plea and recommendation. Obviously, timelines apply in terms of court processes, so that also needs to be taken into consideration. And we generally let the client know what the time periods are once each process has been taken, step has been taken in the process. Then once all the pleadings have been served and filed, you then go on to the next stage, which is your discovery stage. This is essentially all the information, the documents, the evidence that you're going to use in support of the trial, and you share this with the defendants and the plaintiffs, and the defendant shares with the plaintiff, and that's on notice. So you request it on notice. Then you can also request further particulars for trial. You then go to your pre-trial stage in preparation of the trial in order to obtain the trial dates. You can also have there's other applications that can also be brought, such as the Rule 43 application, where interim maintenance is ordered and an order is made relating to contacts and care while this divorce is still ongoing, as well as contributions to legal costs. So the Rule 43 is a very good tool in the sense of where you have a contested divorce and it's going on for 3, 4, 5 years. And you need to set the who's going to pay what and how it's contested. You know, this is a very essential tool in terms of contested divorces and very acrimonious.
And that is Divorce 101 for this week on the Legal Talk. Thank you so much, Nirvana, from Hand and Hand Attorneys. Much appreciated. Nirvana Nortnacho, Associate.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Thank you. Until next time, Nirvana. Take care.
You too.
Thank you.
Are you or your business in trouble and struggling to find a solution? Call Hahn & Hahn Attorneys as we assist clients in finding solutions. We specialize in consumer and food law, commercial and construction law, forensic investigations, and administrative law. Visit hahnlaw.co.za. That's H-A-H-N. We assist clients nationwide. Hahn & Hahn Attorneys, because we care. Don't miss Legal Talk with Hahn & Hahn Attorneys Wednesday mornings at 10 on eRadio.